You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Social media use among young people has been the subject of recent conversation, sparked by National MP Catherine Wedd's private members bill. While the bill hasn't been drawn, the proposal to restrict social media from those under 16 was met with criticism and support from other political parties. I speak to Professor Terri-Anne Clark from the University of Auckland about how a social media ban might affect young people and address the issues they face around mental health. I wanted to start with a bit of a broad question to get some context on the situation around social media and young people. How different is life today for young people than it was for their parents?
Yeah, gosh, you know, it's really different. I think about my generation, we're kind of, you know, and older generations, we interacted face-to-face, and I think now a lot of the reach of young people is far more global, and they are kind of being exposed to things that as adults and as parents we can't possibly understand and keep up with. So, you know, in some ways access to the internet has been an incredible revolution for young people, being able to access and talk to and engage with people who think similarly to them. But it also might, you know, and we know that it can be risky for some other young people. So, you know, as a parent, we're often not very well prepared to give advice and support our young people to be safe. So, you know, I think it's a really different climate and it's changing so rapidly all the time.
And we've seen this kind of policy pushed, a social media ban for those under the age of 16, as a solution or a method to address some of the mental health issues associated with social media or some of the mental health issues that young people are facing. What kind of effects do social media have on young people?
Well, the effects of social media are still, you know, the research is relatively new. But when we've looked at you know, sort of systematic reviews of all of the literature that's been passed, published to date, we've not found a lot of evidence that it's a causal mechanism of young people's harm or causing worse mental health. And I guess, you know, we've correlated the increase in young people's distress with online use, but there does seem to be really small associations, and a lot of those studies, when they're replicated, don't seem to find the same thing. Now, in saying that, there are young people who definitely find themselves in really difficult situations online, and there can be some really harmful things associated with social media. But I guess my perspective is that a ban isn't really going to fix the interwebs, right? It's still going to, if we ban social media, young people are going to go elsewhere. They're going to find other places that are less unregulated. But also, bans tend to force young people underground. So, you know, if they are having difficulty, they are going to be much less likely to talk to an adult because they know that they're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, if you could elaborate on that a little bit. Obviously, the ban would have some impact on existing issues for young people, but it also might create some other issues, particularly, as you mentioned, with young people hiding information from their parents around their use of social media. If you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean, we already know that there's a ban on social media for under 13-year-olds, but recent surveys are finding that about 40% of young people under the age of 13, between the ages of 8 and 13, are already using social media. So our current strategies are really ineffective, right? Where all they have to do is say that their date of birth is older than 13. So, you know, the ways that we protect and, you know, try and secure age range is really poorly monitored. The other thing is that we know that young people will really easily find workarounds. So, for instance, just getting themselves a VPN that looks like it comes from overseas, really simple to do, and that would avoid any need for young people to, you know, have any restrictions based on their social media need. The other thing is that it's changing really, really rapidly. So, you know, most people have migrated away from social media into TikTok or Insta. But, you know, once those become more regulated, young people will probably migrate elsewhere. So, you know, in some ways, our legislation is not going to keep up the pace and the movement of young people's online presence. And I just sort of think that that's really problematic. One of the other things that's really important about social media is this is where young people turn to for information and support from their mates or from other communities. So we know when we've asked young people, who do they talk to first when they're feeling distressed and when they're feeling overwhelmed, they will say that the first place they go is either Dr. Google. They'll go in and they'll start looking around on stuff. They talk to their mates and they seek out content online on socials that is similar to their life experience. So we could be really cutting young people off from their support systems and from getting some good information, so long as that, you know, that information online is appropriate and safe. I guess where we need to sort of start thinking is how we hold a lot of these, you know, social media platforms to account for their marketing, deliberate marketing to young people, but also for the algorithms that can feed them really unhelpful stuff. It seems like, for instance, that, you know, if a young person's really distressed and they start looking at content online around self-harm or suicidality, then the algorithms will pin more and more and more of their content. And so what we really think is important is that, you know, those social media platforms take responsibility for their unsafe content, that we are making sure that young people get the support that they need, that it's correct information and that it's going to be safe. Whereas a ban does nothing to fix all of those sorts of issues.
So if we're looking at solutions then, both in and around social media, to address mental health issues for young people, what could these kinds of solutions look like in practice?
I think we really need to look at the system architecture and look at the design of social media, how we give feedback to young people when they look like they're posting stuff that says that they might be in distress, to look at algorithms to make sure that they're not reinforcing young people's mood. So, you know, if they keep doom scrolling, they will continue to get doom scrolling and make things feel even worse. We're not sure that what comes first, for instance. We don't know whether young people who are really distressed and sad use social media more often or whether it's the other way around. But we've got to make sure that the algorithms are okay. We've got to also really address unregulated marketing to young people. So, you know, at the moment, there is no regulation of social media. And, you know, there are some places like TikTok and other places who are trying to sort of be responsible and try and report stuff and try and facilitate young people to get the support they need. But a safety by design approach is really needed. I also think that there needs to be some sort of graduated use of online spaces. We need to prepare our children and young people for the online world. It's not going to go away. So how do we make this part of everyday growing up? This is how you negotiate stuff. This is how you find legit information. This is stuff that might be unhelpful. This is how you might change your algorithm if you start getting negative stuff. This is how you might sort of influence a whole bunch of stuff. And then for whānau, I sort of think for adults who are trying to figure out this system and try and keep their children safe, we also need lots of tools to help us as well. You know, I've got a teenager who, you know, it can become really maddening when you're just saying, get off there, get off there. So, you know, there needs to be some levers to support whānau, but, you know, they will find other places to go and they will find workarounds. So for parents, for young people themselves are saying, actually, adults are often much worse on online spaces, particularly around bullying, than young people are. And, you know, we're often not very good role models around the tikanga or the way to behave online that's respectful of other people and not hurtful, because we wouldn't say those things directly to people's faces most of the time, right? When it comes to bullying. So, yeah, there's a range of things that need to happen, from education through to, you know, safety by design. We need some really good legislation that's agile and that's able to cope with the changing, you know, the rapidly changing nature of young people's online use. The regulatory standards we're using for safety at the moment are 10 years old now, and we know that tech has super changed in the last 10 years. So, you know, we need something that's going to protect our children but also not restrict their opportunities and their connections and all the good things that come with online life, as well as some of the harmful things.
That was Professor Terri-Anne Clark from the University of Auckland speaking to me about how a social media ban would affect young people in Aotearoa. We'll be right back after this short break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.